And now, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. Here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and welcome to today's show. Well, it's that time of the year. The harvest is underway across British Columbia. I was in the Okanagan and Similkameen last week, and although the crop is small, and we'll talk about that later in the show, the quality is quite good. The grapes that I was eating, which is mostly what winemakers are doing at the moment up and down the rows, were really ripe and delicious. And so far, at least the ones that I had were not smoke affected either. So it looks like it'll be a small crop, but a high quality crop, which is kind of nice. They're going to need that to space out all the wines that they're going to make over the next couple of years. What else? By the way, you know, the best way to keep track of the harvest in BC is on Instagram. Most of the wineries are posting photos from the vineyard when they're picking, telling you which varieties they're picking and how things are going. So if you're interested in that kind of news, check it out on Instagram. Now, coming up on the show, in the next few weeks, Ned Bell's coming back to talk turkey with us just before Thanksgiving. Always a pleasure to talk to Ned. And so if you have any turkey questions, let us know, and we can ask Ned if there's something that you really want to know about cooking or preparing your turkey for the big holiday. Aurelio Montes Sr. is going to be back. Of course, I've known Aurelio for over 30 years now. He is the pioneer, I would say, in chili, or one of the pioneers who helped to get the chili and wine business underway globally. But I want to talk to him about where they are today and how happy he is or isn't with their standing globally, because Chile is still considered kind of a value wine place, and they're much better than that. So we'll discuss some of those issues. By the way, on GAO, Gismondi on Wine, we've been reviewing a lot of fall red wines this week and having a lot of fun. So you're going to find probably 20, 30, 40 new reviews. Of course, there's new reviews every day, but there's a lot of red wine reviews you may want to check out if you're looking for something for the fall. Finally, in October, the second week of October, the wineries will be unveiled for the Vancouver National Wine Festival, which comes up next February. Italy is the theme. I'm hearing that there will be somewhere between 65 and 70 Italian wineries coming to BC. It's going to be super exciting. And I can tell you right now, because it's Italian and I know this city, those tickets, which go on sale November 15th, are going to sell out faster than ever. So you might want to get planning about how and who you're going to go to the show with and what nights, and get ready for those tickets that go on sale on November 15th. Now, on the show today, Jeffrey Moss, Master of Wine, he joins us for a look at a final look at the vineyard damage that was wreaked by the cold snap on December 27th, 2022, and what we can expect moving forward in terms of specific grape production, decisions regarding the future of vines that were impacted, and just what the yields will be coming up this year, and how all that all fits together into the future of BC wine. I'll have a list of bargain red wines to share with you today for the fall. Severin Pint is back. She's the winemaker, viticulturalist, and managing partner at La Vue Pan La Stella, but we're going to talk about BC food, BC wine growing community sustainability program. You won't want to miss that. There's so much going on, so much good news going on in the sustainability department in British Columbia Wines. But up next, David McMean, GM and Watermark Beach Resort. He joins us to talk about all they are planning and what they can do this fall and winter in the South Okanagan to entice you to visit them. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and we are set to go.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Penticton, plan your fall vacation around these great musical events. Bonnie Raitt returns to Canada for her Just Like That tour, coming to the South Okanagan Events Center September 22nd. On the 28th, catch Steel Panther at the Penticton Trading Convention Center for their On the Prowl World Tour. Or rock out to Juno Award winners Billy Talent on October 13th at the SOEC. Make sure to go to visitpenticton.com for information on these and more concerts and events.
A A-ring-a-ding-ding. Time for happy hour at the Modest Butcher at Mount Boucherie Estate Winery. Featuring wine by the glass starting at just $5, along with the most fabulous gourmet bites the West Side has ever seen. Daily from 2 to 5 p.m. Plus, join us for Tommy and Tannen Tuesdays. Order a giant tomahawk ribeye and get your first bottle of Mount Boucherie Reserve Merlot for just $5. The Modest Butcher at Mount Boucherie Estate Winery. See you today.
Clos du Soleil makes wines that speak of the Similkameen soil where their grapes are grown and the souls of the people who call this valley their home. Winemaker Michael Clark and his team specialize in wines that blend Bordeaux grape varieties with their unique mountainous terroir. The result is wines that are elegant, ageable, and authentic. Clos du Soleil, wild places, soulful wines. Available at closdusoleil.ca and fine restaurants and wine stores near you.
Attention wine connoisseurs. Iron Gate Auctions are bringing you the chance to indulge in some of the most exquisite back vintage wines from Canada's most exclusive private collections. Each bottle sold individually so you can pick and choose to your heart's content. With an average of 3,000 available per auction, there is something for everyone at all price points. And the best part? Inexpensive temperature-controlled delivery available right to your door. Visit irongateauctions.com to start bidding now.
Meet, greet, eat. Make your next event one to remember. Whether it's business or family, the newly renovated Conference and Event Center at the Watermark Beach Resort in Osoyoos has options for any occasion. From intimate gatherings to large celebrations, indoor or lakeside, you'll find everything you need at the Watermark. And when it's time to relax, enjoy breathtaking views as you savor the local flavors of 15 Park Bistro. Open daily for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Find out more at watermarkbeachresort.com.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. Joining us now is David McKean. He's the general manager at the Watermark Beach Resort in Osoyoos, British Columbia, our home away from home when we are traveling in the south. David, it's been one challenge after another for some time now, but you're still open for business.
We are very much open for business, and everything is looking great down here in the south.
Yeah. Well, the weather has improved dramatically, and tell us about what's going on. I know that you had quite a fall plan. You had to cancel some stuff, but you're back open. What can you tell us about how you've managed all that, I guess?
Well, so there was a travel ban put in place to free up some space for evacuees from Kelowna and West Kelowna. It wasn't actually anything that was actually happening down here in Osoyoos. So once everything kind of went away and kind of was available again, what we have now is we have, an empty lake. You got lots of space on the beaches. The weather is still 29, 30 degrees Celsius and sunny every day. The wineries, you go in for a tasting, you have the whole tasting room staff to yourself. And, traditionally it was challenging to get dinner reservations because of just how busy this time of year is. Mm-hmm. There's lots of space in all the restaurants, the winery restaurants. And so for those who, maybe found the Okanagan to sometimes be a little cluttered because of how many people want to be here at this time of year, now there's so much space and it's really a good time for people to come.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. I mean, it's the fall, so you've got cool evenings and mornings, but warm days, which to me seems like the perfect combination for visiting wineries. And as you say, less people around, so the wineries, I guess, can spend more time with you.
Yeah, you get that personalized tasting experience. And, people who tend to enjoy visiting the wineries tend to come at this time of year as well, just because the focus in the summer is definitely a lot more family focused and, a lot of things, focusing around a lot more with children and things like that, where people that are focusing a lot more on the wine and wineries, they tend to prefer to come at this time of year. Anyways, great events still happening, like Festival of the Grape is coming up on the weekend of the 24th as well. There's still tickets for that and rooms available as well for that event. And that's really the signature wine event that, even all the locals are lining up to get tickets for that one. And this year there's still space.
And I see there's a Wine Capital weekend at District Wine Village, September 22, 23, 24.
Yes, that's part of that as well. So the Wine Capital Weekend is where Festival of the Grape falls in. Some events at District Wine Village.
I see.
Music, tastings, markets, things like that. There's also the Cask and Keg, which is the beer-focused and liquor-focused event, which is the day before Festival of the Grape. There's a scavenger hunt that's tied to it. There's a beer Olympics. Even the barefoot grape stomp, which is impossible to get tickets for that, still has a space available for that as well. So people who've wanted to crush some grapes the old-fashioned way.
I love that. Okay, well, another thing, let's talk a little bit about your positioning. By the way, we're speaking with David McBean. He's the general manager at the Watermark Beach Resort in Soyuz. The Similkameen Sizzle and Sip Fest is on September 23rd, and you're only about 20 minutes away from the Similkameen by car, so you can, it's an easy hop over and hop back from the hotel.
Yeah, Soyuz is really the closest large amount of accommodation that's, you know, to the Similkameen Valley. We do see a lot of business here in Soyuz for people that are wanting to visit the Similkameen. There's some fantastic wineries over there as well. Some of my favorites are over there. And their, you know, their wine region is also really, you know, stepping up in creating some really cool events, you know, food and wine events, wine specifically. They have a new distillery over there with all the amazing fruit they're growing there as well. They have a few really great cideries in there as well.
We talk a lot about the harvest and grape harvest, but it's also the bounty of the harvest of all the fruits and vegetables in the Okanagan. And the Soyuz Farm Market, it's still open, I believe, until October 7th. Is that right?
Yeah, the farmer's market is still happening every weekend here in Soyuz. But in addition to that, there's so many fruit stands. And
yeah,
they all have just amazing produce, and, you know, it's all grown themselves. You know, it's all always fresh. Most of the stuff's picked that morning. We're just getting into the latest thing I've seen is ambrosias. Apples have just kind of popped out in the last week or so. Peaches are kind of going away. Nectarines are still there. Starting to see the first few pears. Lots of tomatoes and lots of melons. A lot of people don't realize how much melon, watermelon, cantaloupe, and honeydew melon grows here in the Okanagan as well.
Yeah. Earlier on, we mentioned the cooler nights, but you're prepared for that this year. Tell us a little bit about the Park 15 Bistro and some of the things that you've done outside to your patio that will entice people to come up and spend some evenings on that patio well into October.
Yeah, so previously it was a bit of a roll of the dice if the weather would be nice enough to seat all those people on our patio. Sometimes it looks like it would be nice, and then, you know, sometimes a cold front would come in. But now we have some nice retractable clear walls that come down on the patio, so it keeps the heat in, and we've dramatically upgraded the heaters, so you can still get a really nice patio view from our restaurant right through October and probably a good piece of November as well, which, you know, wasn't, you know, the case before. There's not a lot of patio dining, considering how much lake space we have in the South Okanagan. So for us to be able to keep that going for much longer, not just for dinner, but breakfast, lunch as well, brunches, and even a few events. It'll be great because we can get a lot more people in there and accommodate a lot more because we usually sell out.
Okay, well, let's take a quick look. We have a couple of moments to talk about Thanksgiving, maybe Christmas, and, you know, sort of the run into winter and people who are overwintering in the South Okanagan. What about Thanksgiving? Anything special planned at the hotel?
Yeah, so Thanksgiving, we have our feature menu for Thanksgiving running all 3 days of that long weekend rather than just Thanksgiving, the one day. Mm-hmm. A lot of people just don't want to do an entire turkey at home for a couple, for example. So
right.
Chef's been out there. He's got a nice Thanksgiving menu, you know, the turkey, all the fixings, all the things that you're looking for.
Any takeaway going on?
We're not going to be able to do the takeaway this year. because we have our larger patio space and we're going to be able to accommodate so many more people in the restaurant, our ovens will kind of be firing on all cylinders to make sure that we have meal options available for the people who are actually dining in the restaurant, just because we know how busy the restaurant gets on Thanksgiving and people looking for that.
Our guest is David McBean. He's the general manager of the Watermark Beach Resort. I walked through the hotel about 10 days ago. So much has happened in terms of renovations. So people might want to consider, even in your meeting rooms now, which look so beautiful, will you be ready for Christmas parties, that sort of thing?
Yeah, so we have a couple of Christmas parties already booked. Last year at Christmas, we had to unfortunately turn people away because we were in the process of renovating that ballroom to make it look as good as it does now. So there's packages, you know, two different tiers as well. So, you know, we can make sure we have a meal that fits right into the budget that people are looking for. Some of the parties have even, you know, set up a couple of receptions before the actual dinner itself. And, you know, for businesses that are booking, you know, Christmas party for their business as well, there's a really generous room rate that is going with that as well, just to make sure that people, you know, take the elevator ride home instead of trying to drive home after going through all that fantastic Okanagan wine. We're also working on a small office Christmas party that we're going to be doing on December 15th. We have a lot of small businesses, not just in Nisoyos, but all of our, you know, some of our neighboring towns like Rock Creek and Princeton and Costa and Carameas, where there's only six or seven people that, you know, kind of work in a business. And they're not able to kind of do a big full-on gala and music and things like that just for themselves. So we're going to do an event on December 15th where in the ballroom we're going to fill it up. We're going to have a DJ there. We're probably going to have a visit from Santa, but it is for adults mainly. And, you know.
Oh, that's so great.
Welcome Bubbly. You know, the big, you know, Christmas dinner that, you know, they can do and they can celebrate, you know, with their office team members or just even a bunch of people in town. And they can do all that together as a group as if, you know, they're booking one of those large parties. But if they, you know, if they're not a large business, then they can still find a way to do that. And, you know, and businesses can show a way to, you know, appreciate their staff at the end of the year on Christmas like some of the bigger ones can.
That is such a great idea. Very innovative. David, always great to catch up with you, and it looks like I'm hoping you're going to have a super busy fall. You seem ready for it, and I think there's some pent-up demand there. So people who are thinking about heading up to the Okanagan, the South Okanagan this fall, they're ready for you, and they're waiting for you, especially at the Watermark Beach Resort. David, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, all great. David McBean, General Manager of the Watermark Beach Resort in Soyuz. Still ahead, Severin Pint, winemaker, viticulturalist, and managing partner for La Vue Pen La Stella, joins us to talk about sustainable wine growing BC and its program and how local wine growers are moving forward to lighten their footprint in all areas of wine production. On the radio weekly in 26 cities across British Columbia or on demand on all the major podcast platforms, this is BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's lots more still ahead. This is the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi, and this is Destination Langley, BC. Our guest is Erin Credba. She's the Executive Director at Tourism Langley. Erin, Langley is an agriculturally rich area, and as we near the start of fall, what are some of the ways we can celebrate the harvest?
The start of the harvest season brings two items that Langley has become very well known for, cranberries and pumpkins.
I imagine there must be an assortment of farms to visit.
That's right. You can visit locations such as Alder Acres, Krause Berry Farms, Loft Country, or Eagle Acres Dairy to pick the perfect pumpkin. And over at the Bog Riverside Cranberry Farm, you have the opportunity to see and learn about a working cranberry bog, and you can purchase items made from their cranberries.
Do other local businesses incorporate harvest items into their menus or offerings?
Absolutely. Milner Valley Cheese makes a fantastic cranberry shove. I've seen local craft breweries offer cranberry and pumpkin beer, just to name a few.
Langley's well known for its signature harvest celebration. What can you tell us about that?
That's right. The annual Cranberry Festival takes place October 7th in Fort Langley and is an opportunity to shop a large variety of vendors and, of course, purchase fresh cranberries.
It also sounds like the perfect opportunity to forage for Thanksgiving dinner ingredients in one place. Anything else we shouldn't miss in Langley this fall?
Equally popular to the Cranberry Festival, but completely different, is Grave Tales at the Fort Langley National Historic Site.
Okay, I don't think I've heard about that. What can you tell us?
Grave Tales is a tour through Fort Langley Village at night, where expert storytellers take you on a 2 or 3 hour walk and share spine-chilling stories, including the history of Fort Langley.
And as always, complete details for the events are on your website.
That's right.
Erin, thanks so much.
Thanks, Anthony. Talk to you next time.
For more information, go to tourism-langley.ca. For Destination Langley, BC, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
Take your wine appreciation to the next level and become a rebel. Welcome to the Rebel Club at Liber Estates. As a Rebel member, you'll enjoy a regular shipment of exemplary Liber wines for your cellar, along with complimentary tastings and VIP treatment at the winery and more. And with the ease and convenience of online ordering, your wine will be shipped straight to your door. Discover more at LiberEstates.com. Simply great wines.
This is the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia, and a shout out to Soyuz and all other 19 cities across the province listening to the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. We're very pleased to have with us Severin Pant, who is a head winemaker and viticulturalist and managing partner at both La Stella and La Vieux Pant. But today she's joining us as the chair of a sustainable wine growing BC. Severin, nice to see you.
Nice to see you too. Thank you for having me.
I'm really excited to talk to you about sustainability because everybody asks me about it and I say, well, you know, you should talk to someone who really knows about it like you. And so we finally have you here. Let's talk about the sustainability. Why is it even important in the wine business?
Oh boy. I think it's very important because it touches on every aspect of the wine, of the business, of the industry. It starts in the vineyard, and then there's vineyard standard, and then it goes into the winery with winery standards, and it touches on all aspects. So it, for example, for a vineyard, you're going to look at what you do in the, what are your practices? You're going to implement a vineyard management plan. It's going to incorporate your integrated pest management plan, your nutrient management plan, your irrigation management plan. So it forces the farmer to look at what he's doing and then try to apply some simple rules, like what can I do to minimize the amount of water that I'm going to put in on my vines,
right,
and still having some quality grapes.
Yeah, reduce their impact on the environment.
The whole idea, for example, for the, because there's three pillars in sustainability, the environment, the economical, and then the social equity part. And if we look at the environmental part, we want to give to our descendant, to our children's, the land in a better shape than we've taken it.
Yeah.
And so what can we do on a daily basis in our actions to improve the land? How can we improve the soil health? How can we improve the plant health? How can we make a plant live 20 years to 50 years?
Right.
That, because that has some economical consequences.
Including the people that work in the vineyard. How can we not harm them?
Exactly. Those are the big component on the social equity that sometimes people forget about.
Yeah.
And it's about taking care of your people, making sure that simple things as, do we have all the PPE available for everybody? Do we have a policy in place? We live in a place where there's lots of fires? Do mm-hmm. we have an emergency plan written? Yeah. Was it communicated to all the people? And there's little things like that that is essential to the functionment, to managing a business properly, that are laid out into the into the program.
Yeah. And even I've been talking to some other people about what I like is this business of, like, if we're selling our wine for 100 or 150 bucks a bottle, the people that actually work for us should be able to live in the region and have a life in the region. They can't be, you know, working for nothing for us while we're making money too. So it's all part of the whole thing.
Exactly.
Not confusion, but what would you say is the difference between sustainable, organic, regenerative, biodynamic? How do they all work together or not?
Sustainable looks at the three pillars.
Yeah.
Like, if you're organic or biodynamic, you're going to look at farming practices that you're going to apply in the vineyard, like no chemicals.
Right.
Biodynamic, you're going to look at the cycle of the moon, but sustainability is going to look at those practices, but also what is make more sense economically. For example, leaf hoppers. They're very present in the valley,
mm-hmm.
and they can be very damaging. But there's very little organic product that are going to eradicate the leafhopper. So when you're sustainable, you can still practice organic most of the year, but when you have leafhopper, you can decide, okay, I'm going to treat two or three panel of this vineyard with that product that is not organic, and I'm going to kill, because the damage that they can cause is more economically dangerous mm-hmm. than applying the product.
So for people who see all that yellow tape in the vineyards, that is for leafhoppers.
Yeah.
I wonder why it's not green. Is it the yellow that attracts them? Or
there's
I'm
probably
not sure.
some kind of color attraction, yes, going
yeah.
on.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. I like that. So the SWBC, the BC chapter, they did something interesting. They looked around the world and sort of picked and chose some of the best practices to help form what they're doing.
Exactly. So it's a program that we have to understand that it started back in 2008.
Yeah.
We created the standard, and we created self-assessment. And lack of funding, we picked it up again in 2017. And from 2017 forward, we looked at what was done in the world. A, to not redo what was already done.
Right.
And B, to be able to compare and say, if you're sustainable, certified in British Columbia, most likely you're going to be certified at the same level at what people are in New Zealand or in Australia or
right.
in California.
Yeah.
And, so that's the way we looked at the world of sustainability when we created the standard yeah. and the certification.
And it's like a volunteer, people step up to want to be certified, or how do you get people to do it?
So there's a handful of people who created the standard, helped created the standard, that got certified first,
yeah.
and then now it's a volunteer. So we have a new program manager, Ruth King, and she's actively working at presenting the program and explaining the program and helping people to write a lot of the parts that need to be in place in order to be certified.
Yep.
So more and more wineries and vineyard are getting certified
right.
and getting on board.
I'm talking with winemaker and viticulturalist Severin Pent about sustainability. Now, let's relate it to consumers. How do they know that you're sustainable, or how do they know the wine has been done using the sustainable practices?
So, consumer, look on the label, on the bottles,
yeah.
on the there's a little sign. It's a triangle, and underneath says "Sustainable Wine Grown British Columbia." In the middle says "Certified,"
mm-hmm.
and all the wines that have that logo have been made with certified grapes and certified wineries.
Yeah, they've been checked.
Yes. Somebody's checking,
so,
yes.
So they can go to the website as well to understand all the things that have happened if they're interested in that.
Exactly.
And see the symbol and all the rest of that.
There's a lot of very practical information on the website at Sustainable Wine Growing BC.
Mm-hmm.
And myself, Ruth, are also available for any questions that people may have.
I hear it's gathering momentum too. Like the number of wineries joining is you know, doubling all the time or whatever, that sort of thing. From a small base, it's moving up.
Yes, there's a lot of vineyards that signed up this year, and in wineries, the most recent is Quail's Gate Winery that got a certification.
Yeah.
We got the vineyard last year, and this year got the winery, and there's a lot of wineries as well working on it. So we started with five the first year and five wineries, and we're growing up very quickly.
Yeah. What do you think about wine quality and sustainability? Does it go together, or is it a fight? Or
so through the vineyard management plan and the vineyard standard, there is the idea that we're going to be able to, we're looking at the land, we're looking at the dirt, we're looking at improving the soil health and the plant health. Mm-hmm. And with that, we're going to improve the quality
of the grapes.
So I think this is the, this is a very good program for the BC wine industry. There's a lot of us that are working towards that already. Mm-hmm. And I've seen from the years that I've been here in BC, a tremendous increase in the quality of the wines.
Yeah.
And I think this program is just going to pull everybody higher quality.
Well, I think one needs only to go to the Okanagan and look around and see the beauty of the place and expect that the vineyards have the same high standard as the hillsides that they've replaced in some way. So that, I think that's really important.
Yeah, I think it's looking at the industry in the whole and looking how we can improve every little steps.
Yeah.
And I can see we've only been certified since July 2021 for La Stella and Le Vieux Pin, and I've already seen tremendous improvement in our way of working.
So. And when we finally go to Europe and all these other countries to sell our wine, we'll be ready by then.
Exactly. When we have the volume.
Severin, thanks so much for joining us, and for all of you, Sustainable Wine Growing BC. You can go to the website and do some reading and catch up and find out what people are doing in BC to leave the land in a better state than they found it.
Exactly.
How's that? Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Severin Pench, he's the chair of Sustainable Wine Growing BC. I'm Anthony Gismondi. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. We'll be right back.
There's lots more still ahead. This is the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
Penticton, the hub of the South Okanagan, a perfect place for a BC road trip. Enjoy outdoor adventures and reward yourself after a day of activities with a visit to one of over 80 area wineries, cideries, and distilleries, or our 8 craft breweries. Experience fantastic locally sourced restaurants and gorgeous patios too. It's the perfect destination for a summer or fall getaway. Before you go, make sure to check the website for information on wine tours, winery events, and help planning your trip. Go to visitpenticton.com.
Discover award-winning wines in the stunning Okanagan Valley at Tinhorn Creek Winery, the ultimate destination for wine lovers. Enjoy relaxed tasting experiences featuring premium wines sourced from the Golden Mile, or embark on a one-of-a-kind sensory adventure with a black glass blind tasting. And for delicious Mediterranean-inspired cuisine made with locally sourced ingredients, Mirador Restaurant is waiting. Good food, great wine, unforgettable memories. Tinhorn Creek Winery. Visit tinhorn.com.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
It's time to think turkey. Your BC turkey farmers work hard all year to bring high-quality products to your table. Whether it's a weeknight dinner or special occasion, turkey is always a delicious source of lean protein, and you can't forget the leftovers. With a great meat-to-bone ratio, you get a great value and multiple meals. So the next time you're wondering what to serve, think turkey. Find recipes, info, and more at bc.canadianturkey.ca.
Penticton may be known for its wine, but it's also a craft beer paradise. Get to know the Penticton beer scene during the 5th annual Penticton Beer Week and Block Party, happening October 13th through the 22nd. Featuring events at all 8 local breweries, as well as restaurants and other venues all over town, including the always fun Penticton Beer Run. Go to visitpenticton.com for more information on Penticton Beer Week, as well as other upcoming festivals and events in Penticton.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia, and welcome to the show. A shout out to Sam and Arm and all 25 other cities listening across the province on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. We're so glad you're with us today. Well, it's September, folks, and with Labor Day in the rearview mirror, it's the unofficial arrival of fall. I know there's a few more days to come, but this is the time of year when we begin to search for our workhorse reds as we prepare for richer menus and, moving away from those summer sipper style wines. I call them workhorse reds because what they are they're red wines that are relatively inexpensive given what's going on in the marketplace, but are high quality in terms of they deliver what they should in the glass. You won't be disappointed with that wine. But the problem is it's getting more and more challenging to find these wines. I know when you see a list like this, people say, oh, well, he's got another list out, whatever. But these lists take a long time to put together. One, because it's hard to find the wines. Two, it's hard to find wines that are actually available in quantity or in numbers or spread around the province that you can get your hands on. So all of that we take all of that into consideration, before we get to the list. Also, just a bit about pricing, because everybody's asking me what's going on. Why are prices so high? I have no idea why prices are so high. You'll get a lot of different excuses about the pandemic, supply issues, this, that, and the other. I think prices are high, and I can trace it back to the start of the so-called wholesale, or what I call the phony wholesale price in BC, when that was instituted. And what it's done is it's given license to restaurants, retailers, and just about anybody in the business to set any price they want. So that's different than it was for so many years here in BC when you could, count on a price of wine or wine going up 10, 15 cents a year. Now, believe it or not, every year, because I'm entering wines all the time in the system at Gismondi on Wine, I see wines going up $5, $7, $10 a bottle over 1 year. It makes no sense at all. And I often say the wine has gone up $7. It's not even worth $7, and it's gone up $7. So, take it from there. Prices are jumping everywhere. And if you're paying them, then they're going to keep happening. So that comes back to me to find you wines that are affordable and that you can drink. And especially young people, because so many young consumers have been sort of forced out of the marketplace. If you ask me, why are they drinking refreshment drinks and anything but wine? It's because they can't afford wine. And when they go to a restaurant, it's completely out of the question. Because it's all, and then it's marked up another two or three times the value. Nobody's paying $70, $80, $90 for a bottle of wine with dinner when they're, just starting out in life, trying to make the rent every month. So anyway, we've got a list today. By the way, we'll post this list on our social media channel so you don't have to write it down. Here's what I've done. Think about this. Your best chance of uncovering value is in the larger regions of production, where the scale of production can intersect, as I say, reasonably with high levels of quality. So let's think about the Languedoc in the south of France, possibly the largest wine-producing region in the world. Central and northern Spain, a lot of wine being produced out of there, red wine in particular. Chile has always been great value. I hesitate to mention Chile because I think they're so much better than a great value wine place, but they do have wonderful values there that you can suss out. Parts of Argentina still offer some value. Australia is another possibility, certainly, especially given the level of care with which they grow their grapes and what we've seen. My only thought for you to grow as a wine consumer is when you find something you like, trace the wine back to its verified region or sub-region, like where it comes from and the producer, and take note of that. And that'll always give you a starting point to measure the true value of a wine and where it's coming from and who's making it. And once you file that away, it's a useful thing to have in your brain when you're out shopping. And you go, oh, I know this place. I know that appellation. And you maybe not know the producer you're looking at, but you know several in the region. So, it's a tip that you might want to try that wine. But as always, the onus is on you to be a better shopper, less of a mark, as I say, when buying wine, and educate yourself. No one else is going to do it for you. Lastly, I'll give you some wines now, but don't forget the original price includes another full 15%, the PST and GST that we pay at the cash register, so be sure that your budget allows for that as well. Now, what can you buy? Okay, let's start out with, we talked a bit about the south of France, so maybe I'll just stay in that region for a minute. The Arrogant Frog Ribbit Red. Kind of a goofy looking bottle, but this is a Cabernet Sauvignon. You know, everybody loves Cabernet and Merlot blend. Everybody's, you know, likes the softness of Merlot. It's made by Jean-Paul Mas, who's really a master and a guy making a lot of high-end super wines out of the Languedoc. This is his sort of gift to America. And I can tell you, he used to work in America. And so it's his joke, a play on words, of course, the French and the frog, you know, a derogatory thing or a fun thing, depending on how you look at it. He put it in the name. It's a big seller. It's $15.99 a bottle. It's delicious. You can drink it all week long and save some money. Borsao, B-O-R-S-A-O. This is a Garnacha selection from Spain, the middle of Spain. It's $15.99 as well. Garnacha or Grenache. Grenache is a really fruity, sort of a raspberry, a fresh sliced raspberry flavor. People can love this when they smell it and taste it. So even though it says Garnacha, it's Grenache, of course, that you would know perhaps from France, but it's in Spain. We speak Spanish and it's Garnacha, so enjoy that. El Petit Bonhomme, many of you probably know Natalie Bonhomme. She's a Canadian. She's been working in Spain now for over 25 years. She's done a ton of stuff in Spain, especially selecting wines and selling high-end wines, so she knows where all the good grapes are. And she's got her own little winery, and El Petit Bonhomme is a delicious tinto, a red wine from Spain that you can drink all week long. $17.99. Finca La Linda, private selection, Old Vines Malbec. I discovered this the first time I was in Argentina, driving off the main highway and heading into the mountains to look for, you know, these famous wines. And we drove by this just incredible, beautiful vineyard, no name, nothing. And about the third or fourth time I went there, I finally stopped the car and I said, does anybody know what this vineyard is? And I was told it was La Linda. And so I got out of the car, walked through the vineyard, just an exquisite spot to grow grapes. And guess what? This wine's delicious. It's the 2020 Old Vines Malbec. You can buy that in the store for $22.99. It's a bit of a step up, but really a nice wine. Italy. We've been talking about Chianti, Chianti Classico on the show, Sangiovese, Gabbiano, Cavalieri d'Oro, Reserva. It clocks in at $20.99. It's a delicious wine. A perfect food wine. Sangiovese is so great with so many different things. Try it with some grilled sausages. You probably never drink it with anything else again. Now to France. Another place I like is the Rhone Valley. So Gabriel Meff, St. Mapalus, or Mapalus, pardon me, Côte de Rhone Village, $17.99. These Côte de Rhone's a mix of Syrah, Cinsault, Grenache, soft, round, red, delicious, a lot of umami in them, that sort of deliciousness, that earthy character. Gerard Bertrand, his Corbière, also something you can look forward to. It's the 806. It's a Grenache, Syrah, Languedoc wine, $21.99. Gerard Bertrand, he's a master. You can put him with Jean-Paul Mas. They love to compete against each other. So there's a wine I like. Louis Bernard, you could just set your clock by the quality of this $17.99 Côte de Rhone Rouge. Louis Bernard. Just a fantastic wine for all kinds of things, from chicken, pizza, even just a slice of cheese. Finally, Michel Chapoutier, we all know him as the famous producer in the Rhone of high-end wines, but his Bia Haute, which is B-I-L-A, Bia Haute, H-A-U-T, comes from the Côte de Roussillon, which is one of the go-to areas now in the south of France. This wine is $19.99. It's often on sale for $16.99 every other month in B.C. You should just pack this wine into your cache of wines when you need to pull something out at any time. It's a wine that wows connoisseurs and people who just like a glass of wine. And finally, an old favorite. If you haven't had any Australian wine in a long time, Penfolds, Kanunga Hills, Shiraz, Cabernet, 2020, $19.99. This is a Peter Gago production. And man, This is one delicious Shiraz Cabernet. Okay, there's your budget wines. You've been listening to me go on and on, but what you need to do is get out to the store now and shop before the prices jump again. Next up, Jeffrey Moss, Master of Wine and owner of Lithica Wine Marketing. He joins us for an update on the state of the Okanagan Valley and how it's recovering from the deep freeze of December 27th. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's lots more still ahead. This is the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi with 2 Minutes in Cowichan. Our guest is Kenzie Knight from Tourism Cowichan. Like other areas of BC, farms and the culinary scene are the places to be of late. And Kenzie, the Cowichan seems to have a lot to offer when it comes to that.
For sure. The Duncan Farmers Market is a must-see. It's one of BC's oldest and largest farmers markets. The market happens year-round, so every Saturday you can head downtown to shop from the local farmers, growers, makers, and artisans.
Well, we love a good farmers market, and actually I've been to the Duncan Market, and it is quite a scene. You will want to check it out. Tell us more about some of the agricultural scene in the region.
Cowichan's home to over 700 working farms. Quite amazing. Because of the warm climate and fertile soil, Cowichan has been growing and producing artisanal food and drink for decades. It's also Vancouver Island's official wine region and home to 14 wineries.
And I think it's why the Cowichan has such a growing and celebrated food scene.
Yes, the food scene in Cowichan is incredible. From cozy bakeries to fine dining, there's something for everyone. Many of the local restaurants use food that was grown or produced right in the region, so it's a welcome return to simplicity where the slow food movement is celebrated.
So close to Victoria and Vancouver, it's a breath of fresh air to get away from the big city and unwind in the stunning Cowichan countryside.
Yes, on any drive, you'll find numerous farm stands on the side of the road filled with fresh seasonal fruits and vegetables, eggs, meats, milk, and cheese, all made right here in the region. I'd also recommend renting e-bikes to explore the countryside, and you can stop at local farms and wineries along the way.
Farms and farmers markets, wineries, all close to our heart here at the BC Food and Wine Radio. We highly encourage you to discover something new on the farm in the Cowichan. Kenzie, thanks so much.
You're most welcome, Anthony. We look forward to seeing you at the Duncan Farmers Market this summer on Saturday. Don't forget there is live music.
Okay, it's a deal. I'm going to make my plan, and you can make your plans at tourismcowichan.com. Till next time, I'm Anthony Gismondi. One of the best things about drinking wine today is that inexpensive wine has never been better. Helping you to improve your wine knowledge and find great buys in the marketplace has been a lifelong goal of mine because once you become a savvy shopper, you can influence retailers to start selling better wines at better prices. So learning just a little bit more about wine can improve the local selection in your neighborhood. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and I invite you to visit us at gismondionwine.com to become a savvy shopper and drink better wine.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. We're back with a special shout out to Sicamous and all 25 other cities across the province listening to the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. As promised a couple of weeks ago, Jeffrey Moss has returned. Of course, Jeffrey's a master of wine owner of Lithica Wine Marketing in Penticton. We're going to talk about the 2023 vintage. Now, that parlance in wine business, we're actually going to talk about the wine growing season and how it culminates into the harvest and what's going to happen as we look ahead. Jeff, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm fine, and I'm a little bit shocked because really the last time I was in the Okanagan, people were talking about 2 or 3 weeks late, and now I think you're going to tell me we're early. What can you tell us about the upcoming harvest?
It's been a bit of a roller coaster of a growing season. You know, we started in the spring, and we were probably 2 to 3 weeks behind on average in terms of bud break.
Yeah.
It's a very delayed start to the season. And then we had some of the you know, warmest May and June weather on record here in the Okanagan, and quickly made up that time. So at this point, you know, not only are we not 2 or 3 weeks behind, we're looking at probably what will end up being one of the earliest harvests on record.
Wow. Wow. How, and just off the top, like how would you say that affects the quality of the grapes, or does it?
It does. So I think the comparison I like to make is to making a stew. You know, when you're making a stew, you're not looking to do something like very quick and fast. You're looking for, you know, slow, gradual, long process, develop a lot of complex flavors.
Yep.
And grape growing is very similar in a lot of respects. And for some grape varieties, you know, those very extreme condensed growing seasons, you're going to lose some of that character of the fruits.
Mm-hmm. And
you're
go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say, you're also going to be concerned about losing acidity, especially with these warm temperatures that we've had. So in terms of, as a winemaker, you're looking for that balance of, well, we want retained freshness still, but do we have the flavor development where we can actually pick at this point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, just for people who may not know, I mean, we're talking about grapes basically converting, you know, a lot of acid to sugar and taking, you know, moving that grape along to a ripeness level where, you know, great wines can be made. But there are other circumstances too. And I wanted to sort of catch up because, of course, we had this incredible event last December in which we had this these freezing temperatures only for really one night that have created a lot of damage in the, you know, in across British Columbia. What can you tell us today about that, and what has the effect been? Like, we all sort of speculated back then, but what's happening in the vineyard?
So, I mean, we had a cold snap over Christmas last year. Grapevines on the whole, you know, you're looking at minus 22 degrees Celsius. Below minus 22, you begin to get concerns. In some parts of the Okanagan and Similkameen, we hit minus 30. And at those temperatures, you're concerned not just with bud damage, but also winter kill. And unfortunately, we've seen both in both the Okanagan and Similkameen. Some varieties are more cold sensitive than others. So Syrah, for example, is one that's very cold sensitive. And there's significant vine death throughout both the Okanagan and Similkameen. So in that, those cases, you're looking at just full replants. For bud damage, you know, for wineries, that means a reduction in yields. Could be somewhere on average 50% reduction across BC because of winter damage.
Wow, that's a big hit. So, I mean, when you say replacing vines, so that's at least a 4-year project, is it not? Or three?
Yeah, that's right.
Three
to four, and for a lot of wineries, they're rethinking their overall direction. You know, wineries that went all in on Syrah, in some cases, they're thinking maybe Syrah doesn't have a viable future anymore in the Okanagan, and so looking at alternative varieties like potentially Pinot Noir instead.
Wow, wow, that's quite a sense. I mean, so much Syrah damaged. Do you think they'll replant half of it, or do you have any idea what people are doing?
It would really just be anecdotal at this stage. I think some people are committing to Syrah still, just making sure they're planting it on the right site. And Syrah really needs a slope to thrive in BC to avoid cold air pooling and to prevent winter damage.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that for some people, they will just move away from Syrah. You know, ultimately being sustainable, it's not just in terms of your vineyard inputs, but you need to be sustainable as a business, having revenue coming in to keep the lights on.
Yeah. Well, and staying with this, so last year was a big crop, so we probably won't see any big difference in availability at the moment, but that means that next year and the year after, things are going to really tighten up, I would believe.
There's going to be much less wine on the market from the 23 vintage. There's no question. I don't think it's clear exactly what the total production will be, but for some varieties like Syrah, we know there's going to be little to no Syrah out there. So if you're looking to stock up, you know, stock up on the 2022 vintage, and knowing that maybe it'll take a few years for things to rebound.
Yeah, or the 2020 vintage that was so spectacular.
Yeah,
if you can find them. Yeah. So. So, Jeff, looking at it even economically, so does it mean, like, we already have high prices. Will the prices go higher? What's your take on that?
Again, it's anecdotal. In talking to people, I feel like there's a sense that from some people, they feel prices are probably at the limit of what the market can support right now. You know, at the end of the day, BC wine is expensive, and it's a question of how many more price increases can people take. But for others, you know, they're going to need to increase their prices. They're going to need to increase their prices to keep the lights on, and that'll be an important consideration.
Yeah. I was thinking that it might be important to be a member of a wine club at this point. You're a bit of a wine club guru. Would that maybe help you get an inside shot at some of the better wines?
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, I think if you're looking to get access to small lot wines, wines with limited production, being part of the wine club is a great way to go. And I think when wineries are faced with reduced yields, lower production, they're going to look at channels that maximize their overall profitability. So you may see less wine available at private liquor stores, restaurants, and just more being made available to wine club members specifically.
Yeah. I'm talking with Jeffrey Moss, Master Wine Owner, Lithica Wine Marketing. I don't know what you're telling your clients at the moment, Jeff, but you know, every day I read about doom and gloom, how wine sales are dropping, wine prices are going up. You know, wineries are closing or shutting down some of their vineyards. Well, what is your take on the sort of short future ahead of us in the wine business?
Well, I think I feel for a lot of people, first of all, because it's been, you know, a string of really tough years for a lot of wine growers. You could combine the winter damage with wildfires, with other market conditions, and it's just not a great time to be a wine grower. Mm-hmm. I think the one thing is, as long as people are planting the right grape variety on the right site and have a clear vision moving forward, people are going to hopefully be able to get through this.
Yeah. What do you think about, I always ask this to wineries and never really get a good answer, but is it possible to make, you know, a pretty delicious $18 to $20 wine in British Columbia? And if so, why are we not making those wines?
It's very tough. I think it's very tough for a couple of reasons. You know, the first is the cost of land right now just mm-hmm. doesn't make it conducive to producing wines at those price points. I think we're seeing that the market soften slightly, but, you know, at its peak, in some extreme cases, you had vineyards being sold for $400,000, $450,000 per acre. You know, you're not doing $18 to $20 wines if you have a mortgage like that.
Yeah.
So I think that was part of it. I think the other part is this is just an expensive place to make wine from top to bottom. You know, in general, we have poor sandy soils, not very vigorous soils. So our yields are just naturally low. So we're not getting huge crop like we would in other places around the world. Mm-hmm. And so again, that's kind of not giving us the conditions to do something at that $18 to $20 price point.
Yeah. Jeff, always great to catch up with you. I love your honesty in answering some of these questions, and great to hear about the harvest. Maybe I should get up there with you. We can get out, pick a few grapes, and have some fun in the vineyards as 2023 comes to an end across the Okanagan.
Oh, that would be great. Thanks again for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Our guest was Jeffrey Moss, MW and owner of Lithica Wine Marketing. That's it for this week's show. Special thanks to our technical producer in Vancouver, Dwayne Bishop, our assignment editor, Sherry Caleb, and director of operations, Stu Ferguson. For all of us at the show, I'm Anthony Gismondi, wishing you a great week ahead and an even better glass of wine.
That's it for today's show. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.